This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Hey, I'm Rach.
And I'm Dean, and we're from Joy Breakfast.
We hope you enjoy this Joy podcast.
It is 25 minutes to 9. You're on Joy Breakfast with Rach and Dean, and I'm very excited to say our next guest was the first woman and first openly LGBT person to be elected president of the Australian Medical Association. She was appointed member of the Order of Australia and has sat as an independent candidate in politics.
From medicine and media to politics and activism, Dr. Karen Feltz AM shares her remarkable life change-making in her new book, Power of Balance, which is out today. And she joins us now all the way from Sydney. Welcome to Joy Breakfast.
Thanks, Dean. Thank you, Rach.
Now, writing a memoir is no small feat, and you've had a, massive career in many different forms. Like I was saying, medicine, media, politics, advocacy, activism. Where do you begin with your new book when you're trying to figure out what you're going to focus on for Power of Balance?
I began at the beginning. I started with the influences in my early life, talking about my childhood growing up on the northern beaches in Sydney, the surf, the sand, the sun, sport, going to a public school, what my family life was like, and then what it was like at school, and then going on from there. And I moved through the various aspects of my career, as you say, in medicine, talking about going to university for the first time, what it was like becoming a doctor, how I saw that there was a need for change in the community, a need for social justice initiatives, a need for changes to the health system, and then putting myself in positions or finding myself in positions where I could actually be the agent of that change.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a very interesting read of a book. And when we're thinking about people who live in this public life that you found yourself in, they don't look at the whole picture, especially for those in politics. And part of what you touch on in the book is the press trying to get a story or validate their perspective while doing your best to just get on with your job, something you've had to deal with at many different points of your career. How was that something that you managed or came to terms with?
I think I was very fortunate because very early in my medical career, I was still in my 20s, I became a television doctor, and so I had a very early understanding of how a news and current affairs room worked. Initially, I was in Good Morning Australia. I was also, not long after that, I went to the ABC and did a program there, and then after that, I went to the Today Show, and I was there for about 12 years. And during that time, I also was doing radio, writing a newspaper column and writing for magazines, so I had a very broad understanding of how the media worked. I didn't have quite such an understanding of how it worked to be the subject of personal scrutiny, but I certainly understood the landscape very well. And so those media skills were very helpful when Jackie and I were actually outed and we needed to take a front foot approach to dealing with some of the queries and some of the, frankly, criticisms of the things that we were doing and saying.
Yeah, well, Australia has come such a long way since you were outed with Jackie and it was made very public. And given your breadth of work and particularly your involvement in the marriage equality campaign, what further advocacy work and policy do you think is most urgently needed to be done to help improve the lives of the LGBTQIA plus community further?
Well, I think it's important to look at how far we have come. Back in the late 1990s, when Jackie and I were outed, it was actually quite treacherous territory for somebody to come out or be outed, because there were implications for your job, there were implications for families, there were implications in all sorts of areas of life in terms of job promotions and things like that. And since then, we've had a lot of diversity policies that have been introduced. We had 85 federal laws that were changed in about 2010 under the Rudd government that really a lot of people didn't even realise to what extent those of us in the LGBTQIA plus community were discriminated against. Wow. Until you came up against something like a will or inheriting superannuation or partner support. And so those things were extremely important to argue alongside of marriage equality, which was achieved finally in 2017. But if we're looking at today, diversity policies in workplaces have come a long way, but there are still areas of discrimination, particularly in religious institutions, things like adoption agencies, things like schools in particular, with gay teachers and students still not being protected. And of course, we've got the looming, always looming, religious discrimination laws, and the real danger there is that it will be a license to discriminate on the basis of one particular interpretation of religion rather than protection for people to personally express their own religious views and practice their own religion. So I think it's really important that we keep a very close eye on what is happening and that we remain engaged. And of course, there are people who are still being excluded from their families, from their religious groups, and in their workplaces because of gender and sexuality issues. So there is still work to be done.
Well, if we're talking about power of balance, like when it comes to balance, so many of us know, you know, what we see you say in regards to medicine or politics, what we see in the public world. But there's also a section in your book where you talk about a very personal thing. It hit me quite a bit whether you talked about your blood clots in your lungs. It was quite a lot to take in because with your medical experience, it meant that you were thinking ahead of the medical team. Jackie was with you by your side during all of this, taking in the information, but you were translating it and could see what was going on that was something very different to what Jackie thought was happening. That must have been a really stressful time and a stressful thing as a medical professional to be able to see that and know what's going on within your own body.
Dean, even just telling that story, I have a visceral reaction to what was going on with that. And that was happening all the way through writing this book, that I would immerse myself not only in the facts of what was going on, but in the emotion of what was going on as well, and trying to convey that in the writing of those stories. And that story that you bring up, I was just coming towards the end of my 3 years as AMA president, so I had a very high profile position. And I was due to go to Canberra for a meeting with the Prime Minister at the time. And I found it difficult to breathe, and I had a slight cough that I was becoming breathless and becoming more unwell over several days. And Jackie said, "You're not getting on that plane until you get this sorted out." And so I ended up going to a specialist at St. Vincent's Hospital who did some tests on me, and I went under the scanner, and when they brought the scans out and put them up on the viewing box, Jackie and I were in the room before the doctor came in. And of course, I describe it as like being able to watch a foreign film without needing the subtitles, because when you're a doctor, you can actually read what's going on. And I had, you know, pretty massive blood clots in my lungs, which is a drug reaction to a hormone preparation. And so I was whipped off to intensive care. And then there was a process of, you know, not knowing how, whether I was going to survive, how well I was going to survive, what things were going to be like afterwards, and then, of course, appreciating being alive and being able to regain my health and having a renewed appreciation of the medical system and how much that needed to be protected. So, you know, every day is precious.
Sounds like there was a bit of a life reset that happened in that. And I think a lot of that comes down to this whole power of balance is working out where to put your energy in and where to take a rest. What do you hope that people take out of the Power of Balance book?
Well, in the life lessons that are in the book, there is a lot about leadership. There's a lot about how you go about analysing for yourself what you care about and what you are prepared to put your energy into. And sometimes you're placed in a position where you are the person who is the spokesperson, or you're in a position to be able to get involved in a campaign. And you would remember how many people got involved in the marriage equality campaign, particularly in those years leading up to the final successful vote, the rallies, the people who got involved in talking to friends and family and people in the workplace, and, you know, flying the flag and going along to speeches. And, you know, I mean, it was just a remarkable community movement, and so many people got involved. So in terms of getting involved, participation, stepping up, caring about issues that affect not just yourself but the wider community, how to take leadership roles, and then also remembering that looking after your own health and well-being is extremely important too, and that has to do with all those basics of healthcare that I've been talking about for all these years in the media about how do you look after yourself, how do you look after those around you, and then more widely, what do you do to address issues of social injustice around you in the community?
It's a powerful read. Power of Balance is available at all good bookstores and online from today. Dr. Karen Phelps, thank you so much for joining us this morning on the show and just touching on just some of the things that are in this book. Really powerful read.
Thank you, Dean. Thanks, Rach.
Thank you. You're on Joy Breakfast. It is 9:15. Hey, I'm Rach.
And I'm Dean, and I hope you enjoyed this little snippet of the fun we bring to air as a part of Joy Breakfast during weekdays.
Don't forget to tune in from 7 till 9 a.m. or like and subscribe to the Joy Podcast.
And keep yourself out loud and proud.
Thanks for listening to another Joy Podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.